the Public News Service Dawn Newscast, November the 28th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Researchers are out with new findings they say show death rates linked to air pollution from coal plants are underestimated.
The study, led by experts at a handful of U.S. universities, found that over the past two decades, there were 460,000 premature deaths nationally associated with fine particulate matter sent into the air from coal-fired power plants. That's more than what health and scientific communities had previously thought. Kieran Gallagher with the group Clean Wisconsin says while coal facilities are being phased out, utilities and policymakers should speed up the energy transition.
A lot of wind and solar is being added to the electricity grid every day, and it just needs to ramp up faster.
Utilities around the U.S. have announced emissions goals, but some companies contend certain fossil fuels can't be completely put to rest right away because of electricity demands while cleaner sources are added. But Gallagher says the regulatory scene in states like Wisconsin makes it easier for utilities to move the goalposts. She's hopeful stricter standards being weighed by the federal EPA will prompt stronger commitments. I'm Mike Moen reporting.
Study authors show that the rate of deaths from coal pollution began to slow as more plants are being shut down. Now from CNN, a new group of 11 freed hostages is back in Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces said. Monday, all are Israelis with dual citizenship. The release came after Qatar said an agreement had been reached to extend the Israeli-Hamas truce in Gaza by two additional days. Under the agreement, Hamas is to release 10 hostages each day, according to an Israeli senior advisor. CNN notes that the four-day truce, which was slated to end on Tuesday, marked the first major diplomatic breakthrough in the conflict. Now to Illinois, where seniors have new hurdles to overcome to get to college.
High school students are waiting several extra weeks to get their hands on a newly designed free application for student aid. You might know it better as FAFSA. The delay places students behind the ball for when they can apply for financial aid. Tabitha Jackson works with seniors at Longwood High School, a charter school in Chicago. She says FAFSA has always been an Achilles heel, but the delay combined with the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to repeal affirmative action has further exasperated the process.
It's so frustrating, and it's so hurtful to let a student know because of who I am, I may not have some additional support or some additional benefits of being able to go to this school. My question is to my students, if affirmative action stops at this level, what's next?
Jackson says a lot of students don't want debt. The 2024-25 FAFSA form is expected to be available by the end of 2023. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
This is Public News Service. Now to Virginia, where the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approved a plan extending a natural gas pipeline. More now from Edwin J. Vieira.
The Virginia Reliability Plan and Transcott's CEC project calls for compressor stations and a natural gas pipeline extension in communities already harmed by fossil fuels impacts, such as Petersburg. The city ranked as the least healthy in Virginia, according to the University of Wisconsin's County Health Rankings and Roadmaps. Tim Sawinski with the Sierra Club's Virginia chapter says projects like this undermine the state's climate progress.
Whether it's a natural gas pipeline project that's doubling the size of diameter or a proposal to build a natural gas, quote unquote, peaker plant in Chesterfield, Virginia. All of these go against Virginia's goals, specifically since we're the last stronghold in the South that has any kind of climate commitment.
He says the state can't reach its climate goals and uphold environmental justice if projects like this continue to be approved. The project's environmental impact statement is explicit on the detriments this project poses, but Sawinski says Petersburg is a sacrifice zone. This is an area where fossil fuel companies already have an approved project and go there for a new project, since the area is already facing environmental impacts. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Feedback to the project has been particularly negative. Numerous community environmental groups voice their opposition, and advocates say policymakers need to understand the importance in plans like this not being implemented. Meantime, as the weather turns colder, two groups of people in one North Dakota city that are generations apart appear to be in good shape to navigate housing issues that might surface this winter and beyond. It is thanks to a mentorship initiative, the Bringing Generations Together Project in Grand Forks, funded by an AARP Community Challenge grant. Nearly 20 college students were paired with 10 older residents in an area near the University of the North Dakota campus. The project coordinator is Shaylee Miller.
I really see this project as providing a space for these generations to connect in a way that they might not have had the chance to before.
With some funding left over, they hope to revive the initiative in the spring. Finally, from our Alex Gonzalez, a new project in Southern Arizona aims to support local reporting.
Earlier this month, civic leaders and the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona announced the Local News Initiative of Southern Arizona. Foundation President and CEO Jenny Flynn says the initiative will raise philanthropic dollars to help increase and strengthen local news across the region. Flynn says the media ecosystem is changing and contends it's urgent to ensure quality journalism remains a core pillar of our communities and democracy.
We kind of have to get to the next phase of what will be kind of a media ecosystem that is a little more sustainable and hopefully has much more, as I said, that sort of local perspective.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.